Welcome to Raw is Jericho! Believe in the Shield!
I am the best in the world.
Oh, yeah!
What's up, wrestling fans? Patrick Hickey Jr. here, joined with the incredible, the inspirational, the number one believer himself, Juan de Jesus, for another week of the ReviewFix.com wrestling podcast. So, tons of stuff this week, Juan, to get to. So, let's not waste any time. First off, how did you feel about this week's Raw?
I thought this week's Raw hit a little bit better. It's getting closer. They're shaking off that little bit of a hangover that they had from WrestleMania. And it came hot off the heels, you know, Money in the Bank, and everything was just, it was just flowing for me. It was doing it. Big surprises, a lot of comebacks, you know, and it's just something that it makes me excited, even though they may be going to the well a little bit too often.
I felt like there were some huge hits, and there were a few very, very small misses that, one huge miss, but a couple of really small misses that could hurt the company in the long run. So, what do you want to start with?
What was that miss?
Having Paige lose the title the way that she did. Mm-hmm. I think they spent a ton of time investing in her as a legitimate, like, shooter babyface. And I think it's fair to say she just came off her best match in the WWE at Money in the Bank.
Agreed.
And for her to lose the belt right after that kind of sends the wrong message to me. It kind of says, like, you know what, you kind of were rushed, and we know you have a ton of talent, but you're not as over as we think that you should be, so we're just going to plug in somebody else that we know can get instantly over rather than develop you.
Well, right now, do you think, did they really spend that super amount of time making her as a face? They didn't let her talk. They didn't give her a good rivalry. I mean, how many times did she have to fight Alicia Fox? Alicia Fox is a talented individual, by, you know, don't get me wrong. But Naomi was supposed to be the one that I feel she should have been fighting. Naomi is a legitimate wrestler from what I saw. She was hitting the flying lariat.
I love her reverse DDT. Oh,
It was great, wasn't it?
That reverse slapping DDT is very nice. Like, it works for her, you know?
And it's legitimate wrestling moves for a diva, if you want to use that word, or a female wrestler that is also a legitimate wrestler.
It's a nice variation in style. Like, Naomi is more of a high flyer, mm-hmm. And Paige is more like your old school, like, traditional, like, grappler, catch can, like, shooter type. Mm-hmm. And they match up really good. AJ Lee and her match up incredibly well, too. They're both very small and nimble. They both have submission mm-hmm. finishers. And I feel like my whole thing is, what's best for business? And I'm not saying that, like, because it's part of the storyline and whatnot, but what's best for business? Having that match on a pay-per-view that you have to pay for, or having her lose the belt on Raw, killing any momentum that she might have had, and not building? That match should have taken place at, like, SummerSlam. They should have built that match up. Like, what they should have did is had AJ come out, have AJ talk her nonsense and stuff like that, then have Naomi, like, win the title from Paige. Then have AJ beat Naomi. And this entire time, Paige is just brooding, not taking her rematch or anything. And then when AJ wins the match, Paige comes out with her hand out and is like, listen, I never got my rematch. I don't want to wrestle anybody else but you. Let's do it. That would have been good.
But you see what you did there is what I don't think they're doing with these female wrestlers in the company is they're not building the storyline deep.
Yeah.
You know,
it's kind of funny when TNA has a better female division than the WWE, a much, much better female wrestling division.
Do you think this was WWE's answer to Bobby Lashley winning a championship on a TV taping?
Let's just be fair. I don't think the WWE answers anything that TNA does.
I know, and they don't have to, but the problem is this, right? you know, when was the last time you saw a title change besides a Divas Championship on free TV?
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often.
Right. It's usually something that's reserved for a pay-per-view.
But and let's be fair, the only reason why Lashley won the title is because MVP got hurt. So, yeah, I mean, you know, that's just a clusterfuck that we'll get to later.
But the storylines for the Divas matches shouldn't always stem for Total Divas. I know they're into the synergy, and I see it a lot. I see they're pushing the app, they're pushing their pay-per-views or events, if you want to call them that now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're pushing their secondary programming, right? But they're not, you know, not every storyline is because someone got into a fight on Total Divas. Let it be about wrestling.
And this is the thing, too. Let's be fair. AJ, not on Total Divas. Paige, not on Total Divas. Alicia Fox, not on Total Divas. Tamina Snuka, not on Total Divas. It's like, that's a fun show.
Depth to that division that they're not using. Absolutely. That they should be building, you know?
I agree.
There should always be a champion fighting with the number one contender and someone always trying to become the number one contender.
I agree.
This goes for the IC title. It goes, you know, which is now vacant, but that's a whole other story, right? It goes for the IC title. And you know the World Heavyweight Championship is always in that flux, especially with the Money in the Bank contract.
Mm-hmm.
But these secondary titles, including the U.S. title, there should always be a number one, a number two, and a guy trying to be number two to get to number one.
I agree.
I don't see it happening.
I agree. And I mean,
there's like no competition for
stuff. It's bad in WWE. It's even worse in NXT. And it's downright awful in TNA. This is like a problem where professional wrestling is written now by, like, former soap opera writers. And, like, bookers and stuff like that, and people that understand the business don't have nearly as much a say as they should. It's, like, the whole reason why a couple of weeks ago we saw Roman Reigns, like, putting, like, the moves on Vicky Guerrero and lacing Stephanie McMahon's drink. That's, like, completely out of Roman Reigns' character. Roman Reigns does not do stuff like that. The projectile vomiting and stuff like that, that was a disaster. And that's the reason...
Vince.
Well, no, that's not all Vince. That was the writer that got fired the week after that happened. He was there for like 3 months and they let him go. It's like, that shit needs to just stop. That stuff is like a complete joke. And it's like when you have people that don't understand the product that are writing about it on a consistent basis and that have a creative say, it's a mess. Right now, they need to start building towards SummerSlam and the seeds have begun to be planted, but bottom line, to get back to Paige, I think Paige is done.
Think so?
Absolutely.
Can you turn her heel? Because AJ is over.
Yeah.
Can you turn her heel and have her attack AJ at a couple of her matches? Maybe, you know, break the Funkadactyls, which just should happen, right? Because that's about to happen. And they keep hinting at it, and it never actually happens. It's like Naomi never watches a replay of her stuff.
Yeah.
But her friends never tell her that, yo, your girl was bad-mouthing you while you were out there at the mat.
Yeah, that's like the third wall. It's like you have to pretend that like you're not Deadpool in that situation. You know? Yeah. The fourth wall, I mean. You know?
Can you turn heel and then have another competitor kind of fight her for like the Nomura contendership and then build up?
You made an excellent point before that Paige hasn't been allowed to cut promo. She's been fed like jobbers in the women's division, and she hasn't even really dominated a jobber. Like, she didn't look that strong against Tamina. She didn't look that strong against Alicia Fox. She hasn't really like dominated the way that AJ dominated. And then on top of it, AJ is just like, she's like a little snake. She's like a female like Jake the Snake Roberts. She's just so cunning and she's sharp witted, and she has like the complete package. And Paige,
she's deliciously evil.
Yeah, and she's super sexy, you know. And Paige has all of those things except for the mic ability.
Yeah,
she has the voice. She could be amazing on the mic if they taught her how to use the mic properly.
So why don't you pair her up with someone, you know, good?
But that's the thing. Who else is good in the Divas division?
No, not in the Diva. Pair her up with a guy. Have some mixed tag matches in order to build some heat.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think?
I don't know.
That's a viable alternative?
I don't know who they would pair her up with.
I mean, look at the Bella Twins, right? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've been looking at some of their stuff. I forgot which ones. Her mic work has gotten so much better.
Oh, Nikki.
It's Nikki.
Yeah.
And who, why is that? She's hanging out with John Cena.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Brie is the better worker of the two.
Of course.
They're both not very good workers, but Brie is the better worker of the two.
But the mic skills, it's directly related to her relationship with John Cena.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So pair Paige up with someone that could give her that little bit of charisma.
I would have loved, it's not going to happen now because he's going to be out forever, but Paige with Wade Barrett would have worked.
Oh my God. Paige, Wade Barrett, and William Regal. Right? Maybe a little bit of Sheamus. You got a whole other faction there.
It could be a lot of fun. It could be a lot of fun. Or even Paige and Sheamus. You have like a freaking Onyx connection. Not an Onyx connection. Like a pasty connection. You know? They both got the accents, but they both work similarly. You know?
Yeah. The problem with Sheamus is he's not that great on the mic either.
He's not that great on the mic, but he's good enough, and he busts his ass every time he's in the ring. You know?
Of course.
Like, he really works hard in the ring. I know a lot of people that aren't fans of his work. I love Sheamus. I think he's great. He's a great big guy. But, to get back to Paige really quick, I really think they pulled a Gail Kim on Paige. And I'm not sure if you remember Gail Kim's first stint with the WWE, but she won the title her first night in the company. And she went through everybody that came her way, but she never got over. And she went to TNA. She was an absolute star. She went back to WWE for more money. She was Daniel Bryan's girlfriend for like a month. That didn't work. She went back to TNA, and she's a star again. So, as far as Paige goes, I think that she's somebody, if she went to TNA, she'd be amazing. They'd use her properly. It's just something about, they know how to write female characters better there. The days of, like, Trish Stratus and Lita in the WWE are over because the people writing do not know how to write for female characters.
Well, if you get the right writers, if you get the correct, the stars align just right, can these two, because they're basically on par with each other. AJ's got more experience, of course, right? But you could have a good little rivalry out of this, and I don't see it coming to fruition. It's not the Trish Lita rivalry, that will never happen again, right? But can you get like some Trish and Mickey James or something like that?
Yeah, it could be, but the thing is, they already screwed it up. They already screwed it up already. Because
so
now the thing is,
back to NXT.
And would you do that if you were just the Divas champion for 3 months? Would you want to go back to NXT and wrestle nobodies? And then this is the thing too. This is scary because Charlotte Flair, the new NXT Women's Champion, she's more over than Paige is now.
Yeah.
So you're gonna have her go back, and then she loses to Charlotte because she's not losing. Charlotte is not losing. You know. They're working on her big time. Then, I mean, now what I see is I see Charlotte and AJ. Because this is the thing. The reason why AJ's so good is because she's a Heyman girl. She knows how to speak on the mic. She knows how to act in the ring. She is a Paul Heyman girl. And then Charlotte Flair, her father is arguably one of the best mic guys and one of the best workers in wrestling history.
Of course.
And he's back with the company. He's working there. You honestly think that Ric Flair is going to stand by there and let his daughter lose a match to somebody that just got whitewashed on Raw?
Yeah.
Not going to happen. So she's done, as far as I'm concerned. And it's sad because she's got a great submission finisher that if anybody in another company is smart would steal in a second. And she's gorgeous.
And she's got, it's there. I see it.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen.
I see the potential.
Yep.
It'd be interesting to dissect this afterwards, if she's completely gone. To just sit there and go, what went wrong? And it's a question I don't think they ask often enough. They just kind of move on to the next thing. They should really find out why some people, it's like Adam Rose, he's getting over very, very, very little. I hear people singing it, but then he's in the ring and people aren't getting excited.
This is the problem with Adam Rose. He can't work. He's got, his finisher is basically like,
it's a Trish Stratus.
It's what's it called? It's Dean Ambrose's finisher, just from a stunner position.
Mm-hmm.
Dean Ambrose does his from the Bulldog, so it's just one extra hand, and he doesn't do enough. What else does he do? He has a shoddy spine buster. He does a spinning neck breaker. He's got some clotheslines and stuff. He wrestled 4 or 5 matches in NXT before he went to the WWE, and he had a different finisher each week. which means they're trying a bunch of different things with him that didn't stick. He's got, like, a cool gimmick, but he's basically going to be, like, the new Santino. Except Santino won titles. Santino won the U.S. title, he won the Intercontinental title, he won the Tag Team title. I don't see Adam Rose winning a title.
No. No, because I don't think people connect with him. If they really wanted a whole Alba Snow thing that they're going for, they had to. Those promos that they rolled out on Raw, I don't think they were enough to get him over. I mean, the NXT crowd, we know, is very forgiving.
Yes.
From what I can see, they'll accept almost anything. They accepted Becky Lynch's horribly stereotypical
the Irish tap dancing chicks. Was terrible. She's not... I think she has a lot of potential as a wrestler, but the gimmick is terrible. And then the thing is, too, I pay very close attention to, like, small things, and she needs to do something with her hair. For the fact of the matter is, when she's wrestling, you can't see her face. It's like Cousin It wrestling out there. You know? And it's, like, one of the reasons why, I'm not sure if you know this, but they're very careful when they have somebody do a finisher, and it doesn't matter how effective the finisher is and how cool it is, but you have to be able to see the person's face. You have to be able to show some type of emotion. I'm not sure if you remember Daniel Bryan's finisher when he was in Ring of Honor. It was called Cattle Mutilation. It's an insane move. The only problem is you cannot see Daniel Bryan's face when he's doing it at all. You can see the person who's in its face, but you cannot see Daniel Bryan's face. That's like a big no-no in the WWE. So... He's never done the move in the WWE. So it's like, this girl's running around and she's not a bad high flyer, but her hair's in her face. It's like Wednesday from the Addams Family. So.
But besides that, they dropped the title. Paige is super over, right? Obviously, the CM Punk chant started.
Oh, you mean AJ is super over.
Yeah, AJ is super over. I'm sorry, I really wish it was Paige.
Oh, yeah, I love her. I think she's great, but the thing is, too... She had some great matches in NXT. She's never had that great match in the WWE yet. She's never been dominant, you know?
And you're right. Her jobber matches, they were never squash matches. She always came out on the defense and offense, you know, the smash and grab victories.
Yeah.
It's not enough.
You know what it is, too? AJ has a lot of weaknesses. She's very tiny. She's not very strong. But she hides them so well. Paige does not hide her weaknesses at all. She's, like, out there warts and all. And you, in a relationship, you do that because you hope that the person that you're with loves your entire package, and that didn't sound right, but they love, like, everything that you're about, and they want to protect those weaknesses. Wrestling fans are very fickle, and they want to see characters possess strength at all times, and she just didn't do that. AJ owns herself. She owns that character out there, and she's all strength.
So, who do you feud AJ with?
Oof.
Do you give it to Naomi? Do you bring Tamina?
Not even.
Tamina Bank?
Nah. I you know what I would do? I would
promote Charlotte.
I would promote Charlotte. Emma is in due to her shoplifting spree. I think
she bought $300 worth of stuff.
Yeah.
It is possible that you forgot to scan that one item.
I think it's an absolute accident. You know, I have heard from people that have met her that she is the hottest diva in person. Mm.
I've seen the pictures.
Yeah. She's pretty cute, yeah.
They gotta get her. One, you know, Santino's kind of winding down his career.
You gotta get her away from Santino. She's another one. They're building all of these female performers to be like little mini Chris Benoit's. They all can suplex, they all have submission moves and stuff like that. And that, like, turns guys on big time, you know? But I think Emma needs to go back to NXT for a little while. Mm-hmm. And I would definitely promote Charlotte, and I'd have Charlotte feud with AJ Lee, and
you need another two that are always there.
I think Naomi would still get, you know, I think Naomi is coming up.
So you would again break the Funkadactyls, have them wrestle each other, right?
As far as I'm concerned, I think the Funkadactyls have been broken up for months, because the thing is, everyone's known, people have known for 2 years now that, like, Naomi is a stronger performer of the two. I mean, Cameron got kicked off of Tough Enough after, like, 3 weeks. She was a disaster. You know? She's just good-looking, and she's not even that good-looking, let's be fair. You know?
I mean, look, but you saw the divas that came out. You got Layla back there, right? and her stupid feud with Summer Rae. They got to do something with that girl, right? Send her back to NXT. Do something.
I think Summer Rae with Dolph Ziggler could work, though.
Yeah, but then who you, is it you're going to put Dolph Ziggler against Fandango? Like, almost.
The thing, though, too, Fandango is an excellent wrestler. I mean, Johnny Curtis, I mean, that top rope leg drop, if they kind of, like, make this feud a little bit more about the in-ring aspect and less about if they make it about less than that, and they kind of make it more like a cat fight versus two guys that can really go, then I think it would work.
So you would have the whole, my girlfriend got me into a fight, now we're going to have the fight.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then that little one push sends them on a whole full-on feud.
These guys can have a great, like, 20-minute match.
Like, the first couple. That's how I would build it. Because, you know, he gets a chip on his shoulder, he's going to keep going for it. Right?
Absolutely.
So, and I want to see Fandango wrestle. Right now, he's lost to Bo Dallas twice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everyone's losing to Bo Dallas.
And yeah, but the problem with Bo Dallas is I'm getting it. At first, I hated it, but now I get it. The more he's an old 1980s style face that no one likes. No one likes that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm starting to get it now, and I love his insincerity and how it's coming out. Right. I don't know why they put him out there with Brian during the pre-show, but
I think for the future, I think when Brian comes back, I think Brian's the one that ends Bo Dallas's win streak.
That would be pretty awesome.
It would be. Because I think what they're going to do is they're going to build him up so much that the fans want to see him get his ass kicked. You know? And it's like that now where and that's the thing. That's what a good heel is. A good heel is somebody that you really want to see get their ass kicked.
Well, you know, I want to see Ryback get his ass kicked. That doesn't mean he's a good heel.
That's true. Or they're
just hate that guy.
Awful.
His face.
He's just, too stiff. He just works way too stiff. And it's like, Scott Norton works stiff. Bam Bam Bigelow works stiff. Paul Orndorff works stiff. Harley Race works stiff. Yeah, Legion of Doom works stiff. But they were good! They worked good stiff, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, you have guys like Goldberg and Ryback and D'Lo Brown that were really stiff and legitimately hurt people, and that's not good for business.
Well, it's good that you said about legitimately hurting people, because, like, if I was in a company and you took out two champions, I would be talking to you seriously. But, you know, you got Jack Swagger, who's infamous. What size shoe is he? Do you know what size shoe he is?
I have no idea.
It must be some gigantic, like, size 15, when he kicked Dolph Ziggler into next Wednesday, right? Gave him a concussion.
Oh, yeah, and yeah, yeah.
You know, then he separated Wade Barrett's shoulder.
He was just tossing him around, man, and that's the thing. You know what it is, though, too? A bump like that, that's on Wade Barrett. Because, Swagger's throwing him around, but, like, Barrett can decide how hard he's going into that, that ringside, guard. And that's padded, too. It's like, that's all on Wade Barrett. That's, not all Swagger.
But I heard there's a memo coming out. I read some of the word sheets. You want them to be a little more aggressive. You saw Bo Dallas's black eye. You saw Cesaro with his scratched lens.
Yeah.
Right. You have Barrett go down with a separated shoulder. You know, I think they got to dial it back a little bit.
See, this is the thing. Like, I was watching something the other day. I was watching, like, WWE, like, Legends Confidential the other day. And Jim Ross brought up, like, a really good point where he said, like, the difference between wrestlers, you know, in the 80s and early 90s was, if you were a jobber, you made like $150 for the night. And if you were like the main guy, you could make like what they called sting money, which was like $750,000 a year. So nobody wanted to be that guy that got stepped all over. Now, if you're in the middle of the card, you're making like a ton of money. And there's too many guys that are super comfortable in the middle of the card that don't want to be champion. And in the words of like Dusty Rhodes, if you don't want to be champion, you're in the wrong business. So basically what you have is you have a whole ton of, like, ballet majors that are in the middle of the card, and they don't want to take risks, and they're super happy where they are, and they're making six figures, and they're basically, like, glorified movie stars.
You know?
Bring back Barry Horowitz.
Oh, my God.
Just this is a second straight show.
Or even, like, Johnny Rods, man. Like, a guy like Johnny Rods that would go out even as a jobber and would be super tough and would, like, slap people across the chest and hard belly-to-back suplexes and just, like, really work his ass off, even for his small spot. You know? Guys aren't like that anymore. And that's why I had a lot of respect when Bryan was on his way up and when Ziggler was on his way up and after CM Punk laid the pipe bomb, because these were guys that were working really hard in the ring. A guy like Christian, who works really hard in the ring every time he's out there, Sheamus, there's just not a lot of that anymore. A lot of it is filler. Like you said earlier, last week, this past week that just passed was really a strong episode of Raw. And I agree. But there's still like way too much filler. Like three or four of the matches and Money in the Bank, you're like, really? Really?
Yeah.
Like Big E versus Rusev? Who gives a shit?
Well, we got something good out of it at least, right? We got that feud is over, Big E's not the Great White Hope or
Martin Luther King the III, like he's like, oh, we're gonna save the world. I don't know, because he doesn't talk like that. I don't understand what that was all about.
And then he kept with the gimmick.
Awful. It was awful.
And I'm like, whoa, I know he doesn't sound like that. I know. I've heard him talk on the network. Not awful. Sound like that.
Awful.
Who told him to talk like that, one? And two, he couldn't do it. If the match, at least that Money in the Bank, he was a little bit more aggressive. He showed that it may have been coming to an end. But now, you know, it didn't happen. So now you finally got what the internet has been saying. He claims to be a real American, ignores Rusev. Now he's coming out, and the crowd is just all over him. You think this is Jack Swagger's last chance to be on the card?
Absolutely. And see, the thing is, too, the first time he was announced as, like, the real American with Zeb Coulter, a.k.a. Dirty Dutch Mantel, he was getting over big time. You know, and I forgot what pay-per-view it was, but he had a really respectable showing, and he had a title shot and whatnot, and he had that DUI / pot bust, and that, like, killed his push, and then he languished in the mid-card. He was a tag team with Cesaro, and then I thought they were going to get over as a tag team, because they were really good, but they never got over, and Zeb Coulter stayed with him, and now it's like, finally, he's got an opponent that he can wrestle with. And make no mistake, Swagger is an awesome wrestler. He's good. He's legitimately good. He is awful on the mic. He's got the lisp. He's terrible on the mic, but...
You got Dutch.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. You got Zeb Coulter. You got Dirty Dutch Mantel. You got, like, a mouthpiece. He's good to go. He's ready to, like... This is the thing, too. They messed up with so many guys, like Sheamus... Jack Swagger, too many guys they pushed to the world title way too fast, you know, and, he's one of those guys. He's a former, like, world heavyweight champion, and it's like, no, he needs to win the IC title now and hold on to the IC title for, like, a good 6 months and really, like, dominate, and then maybe I would put him in a world title match.
Well, after this whole thing with Rusev blows over, why doesn't the guy who calls himself a real American go after the U.S. title?
That's true.
Why not?
That would be good.
You know, and just, you know, whoever has it, I don't know who won on SmackDown. I know it's taped. I didn't check the thing, you know, between Del Rio and Sheamus, because I know he put out the challenge for the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Right? Whoever has that title, right, after this whole thing blows over, he should be back on his heel thing, you know? He should be like, hey, the U.S. title should be for the Americans. And it's a prestigious title. It has history. You know, it's a title people should want. It's like people just forget about it.
I think it's a safe bet to say that Del Rio doesn't win the title just because of the fact that, like, he has zero momentum. And he's another guy. Are
they renegotiating his contract?
I don't know. If I was him, I would tell them, like, I want to be Dos Caras again. Put the mask back on me. You know, like, Sin Cara is not over. Rey Mysterio hasn't been around for a while. They need, like, a masked guy. And, like, you know what? It could be Del Rio. Why not? He was a legend in Mexico. He was loved in Mexico with that mask on. Put it back on. See what happens.
But do they own? Can they get the rights to the character?
I'm pretty sure it's his.
Well, put it on. Let him do it. What's the worst that could happen? It doesn't go over. He can go back to being Del Rio.
Yep, and then you have him wrestle somebody in a hair and mask match or whatever, you know, and have him win the match and then have, like, whoever he's wrestling, like, I don't know, have him wrestle, like, Luke Harper or something like that, or, like, Rowan, and have it, like, be a beard versus mask match, and have him shave off, like, Rowan's beard, and then after Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper fuck him up and take the mask off anyway, you know?
You know, those two, they move around really well.
Yeah, they're great. I love watching
them. I'm loving Luke Harper.
Yeah.
Eric Rowan's okay, he's still a little rough, but Luke Harper, I'm sold.
I think it's fair to say that, like, Harper is a better worker than Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
I love Bray Wyatt. I think he's well-rounded. I think he's great. I think he's going to be a future, like, you know, Intercontinental Champion, United States Champion, maybe even a future World Heavyweight Champion, but, like, there's something about Harper. And the thing is, I don't know if he can, like, really, like, change his gimmick after this is over, but if he could, and he could still talk, and he could still have this kind of, like, scary, brooding character, he's going to be amazing. Like, I would love to see him work with, you know, somebody like Daniel Bryan or, like, Dolph Ziggler or something like that. I think he would shock the hell out of everybody.
Well, you know, word on the street is that the Ascension is getting promoted up.
Oh, and they're awful. They are awful.
You just drained the life out of the tag team division. Oh. Even though Big Cass and Enzo... God, I love that guy.
They're back, and, I mean, Big Cass has a lot of potential. I think they'd be a decent tag team. I haven't seen Enzo wrestle enough. I really, like, you're going to laugh, but I love the Void Villains.
They work for me.
They're hilarious. They're a great, like, NXT tag team. They wouldn't work in the WWE, but they're, like, a really good tag team for NXT.
I don't know. I like the chemistry they have together. You know, it just... You know, Aiden English by himself, I kind of can't tolerate. With this,
he's like a poor man Cesaro.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I was trying to put my finger on it. I guess I didn't want to admit it to myself. But yeah, but he's jacked.
Yeah.
He's a strong man in his own right. And he looks good in the ring. Just don't let him talk that much.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you got to take the microphone away.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, but they do work for me. Like you said, they're not main events.
There's too many guys in NXT right now that are just taking up space and filling up time. The last episode of NXT, there was a lot of fresh faces, which was good. Like Becky Lynch and you know, the Void Villains got another win, and, you know, Enzo came back, and it was good. But there's a lot of guys there that I look at, and I'm just like, they would never get over in the WWE. Like, again, we've had conversations before about Mojo Rawley. It's just never going to happen.
They gave him a promo during Money in the Bank.
Yeah, which I was like, what?
It's like, why? And then the NXT logo didn't show up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, they're plugging NXT. This is one of their stars, right? But he needs to develop a moveset, right? Because he's not going to just sit on someone and they're going to stay down.
I'm going to be completely honest, and this is a stretch, but I really mean it in my heart of hearts. If you gave me a month to train, I'm 6'4", I'm 300 pounds. If you gave me a month to train, I would be able to put on a better match than Mojo Rawley. I swear to God.
The Bronx Wrestling Federation is looking for people. We could go to wrestling school.
I would put somebody in a dragon sleeper. I would throw in a couple of suplexes here and there, some chops. I would sell my ass off. I would have no problem going off of my feet. I would put on a better match than Mojo Rawley. Mojo Rawley doesn't leave his feet. He basically sits on somebody, and he's like 220 pounds. A fucking bonsai drop from a 220-pound guy. Are you kidding? Are you serious?
I mean, it'll sting. It won't kill you.
Yeah, like, really? Unless he farts on you. That's the only way that it's going to, like, really, like, do a lot of damage.
He doesn't even do it off the top rope.
Yeah. I mean, if he did that, like, kind of Thez press kind of thing from the top rope, that would be interesting, you know? But he's just not...
Is he afraid to climb?
I don't know. And this is the thing, though, too. You really don't want guys... You don't want everybody climbing the top rope. It's like, I remember when Randy Orton first started, he used to go off the top rope all the time, and Arn Anderson took him to the side, and it's like, why are you doing that shit? You know, like, if you want to be, like, a legit star, think about it. Hogan, how many times has Hogan gone to the top rope in his career?
I can't even remember a single instance.
Ric Flair goes to the top rope, he gets thrown off. That's part of his shtick.
Cena has a couple of, like, he has that rocker dropper from the top rope that he does, like, once in a blue moon and stuff. Kane has, like, that diving clothesline, but they don't go to the top, like, all the time. Your success as a high flyer, I think, is significantly less. Your ability to succeed in this industry is significantly less if you're a high flyer. I think if you're one of these, like, ground and pound brawlers, or, like, a guy that, like, you know, has a legit, like, signature move, and, like, a legit, like, submission move, and, like, legit strikes, and has, like, things that are interesting about you in your entire moveset, you have more chances at success than somebody that has a really flashy top rope move. I think that's the problem with, like, Adrian Neville. He's got two or three amazing moves off the top rope, and he does a lot of other things that are pretty good, but what else does he bring when he's not on the top rope? Not much. Yeah,
it's just real basic technical stuff.
Yeah, and it's a lot of flash, you know, and it's great to watch, but,
guys like Lance Storm? There's sometimes they had matches that wouldn't take a bump.
Yeah.
You know, or they would take one or two bumps,
mm-hmm.
right?
But yeah.
The matches were stupendous. Why? Because you had two guys who knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
In there, and that is sometimes more exciting to watch than anything else. You know, I mean, some of Jericho's matches, you know, sometimes he doesn't get thrown that hard,
mm-hmm.
right? But you sit there and you go, this is a good match. Why? Well, you know, it's a good technical match. I like it. Every now and then you need to have them.
You have to build emotional tension. You have to get the crowd to think, like, that these guys are, like, legitimately fighting. And you can do that without anyone getting hurt. I've said this before, like Bret Hart said in his book, like, you know that you've done a good job in the ring when you can go out and have a drink at the end of the night, you know, and, like, hang out with your friends, and they wouldn't even know that you were in a match. And a lot of that stuff, I mean, that going off the top rope and hitting red arrows and shooting star presses, that stuff is dangerous. You know, and even, like, Benoit, when Benoit was still alive, he was urged not to do that top rope headbutt anymore because it, like, legitimately hurts your neck, you know? Like, putting, even faking, putting all of your weight on somebody with your head like that is no good, and you should not do that, you know? So, I mean, again, it all comes down to, like, the suspense of disbelief and again, balance. And right now, it's not quite there. You know, both promotions, TNA is even worse, man. Oh, TNA is such a mess.
It's, you know what? The problem is there's potential. And these New York shows, I think, gave a little bit of fresh air.
What, in TNA?
Yeah. You know, you had a crowd that was into it. It's a wrestling crowd. You know, it's something that I don't think they've had in a while. You know, it's not just tourists trying to get away from the heat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's people that are into it. People that are following your promotion. You know, and it was in the Manhattan Center. You know, it's a good venue. You know, they should explore. I know it's an expensive venue, right? But I think it worked for them. I think it gave them a little bit of a push in the right direction.
Just the fact that, like, TNA is in New York is, like, so old school, like, against the rules that I love it. You know, it's like when ECW used to go in the Manhattan Center, you were like, all right, they have to have some type of agreement with Vince McMahon or else, like, shit would go down. It's like, when the WWE used to go into, like, Kansas City, Harley Race one time set a WWE ring on fire. Because he was like, no, this is my territory, you don't come in here. So, like, the fact that, like, TNA is in the Manhattan Center for a couple weeks is really cool. I like it. I think TNA has a really solid in-ring product, but the writing is just a mess.
Well, they're bringing back the hexagon.
Yeah. Which should be interesting, and I also heard, too, that, I make sure that I don't read the dirt sheets, but I heard that Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy reunited for a night against the Lone Wolves.
They did, and it was actually pretty good.
So, I'm hearing a lot of good things about that, so, I mean, I like Willow, I think Willow's a cool character, but there's not a lot of room for it to grow. That guy, Willow's never gonna be world champion. I think a Hardy Boys, like, if Matt is still up to it, because, you know, Matt's weight fluctuates, he's like Paula Abdul, if he's able to, like, get his act together and keep his self in, you know, in check, and they could have, like, a series of matches with the Wolves, I think that would be awesome. Also, too, you have the Von Erich kids,
that TNA just signed, and I mean, the Von Erichs are, like, one of the, you know, most prestigious families in wrestling, a cursed family, nonetheless, like, they're, like, the Kennedys of professional wrestling.
I saw that documentary. Heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Foot.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell.
It's pretty nuts.
Yeah. But, yeah, you know, potential is there. Is there. And now you got Angle, who's taken over as director of operations.
Which makes the most sense. It's like, instead of bringing in somebody else, I mean, when MVP first came in, I was surprised because, one, MVP was probably making a ton of money in Japan as Black Dynamite. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that he was willing to come over, I think that said a lot about what he thought the future of TNA was. But then, two, I thought it was fresh, and it was working really well in the beginning. And then you make him go heel, and it just killed all the momentum, and it's like, three African-American guys, it's like, the insinuation of that group together says a lot. And it's like, it's not, how do I say, it's not acted upon. Mm-hmm. It's like they could have made that group a little bit more rough around the edges instead of just three guys together. Mm-hmm. Like, I think when Kenny King would cut his promos and stuff like that, I think it would come out a little bit. That, like, MVP is a no-nonsense kind of guy, and Kenny King is a wise-ass, and they could have played off of that, like, made these guys, like, really tougher. And Bobby Lashley is tough as nails, and he's a great, like, technical wrestler when he has an opportunity. He's had a couple of really good matches in TNA, but he's boring as hell. So it's like, now you have a group that it's like, almost impossible for them to, like, get any type of heat or get over because they're pretty vanilla.
So, but then, you know, going back to, is it just a problem in the writing in all departments?
Yeah, I think it's a problem with the writing in all the departments. I just think...
So who's taking over for the writing? I think we've diagnosed the problem, right? It's like, are they just hiring Hollywood writers and they don't understand? Or is Mike Adamly all over again?
Well, they have guys, they put up things on their website all the time where they're looking for writers. I heard that the average lifespan of, like, a WWE writer is, like, 7 months.
Wow.
So I mean, think about it.
We go, Patrick. Unless we start booking people correctly, you know.
I saw a job posting on WWE a couple of weeks ago, and I was completely qualified, but you needed a driver's license. That's the only thing that I needed. But to be totally honest, who really wants to work? Like, you're working 7 days a week.
Yeah.
That's no joke. And you could say that you love wrestling, and I absolutely do. I adore wrestling, and I watch it every single day. But I don't know if I want to write it every single day either. You know what I'm saying? It takes a special type of person to get in that ring and do that stuff, and it takes an even more special person to be able to, like, make it their life. I think I like my life the way it is. You know?
Yeah, you're at home, you don't have to be on the road, you don't have to drive from Raleigh to mm-hmm. Durham or something like that.
Yep. So,
But you know, there are things that work that they are getting right. I mean, like the whole Stardust thing, I'm sold.
You are?
I am, I don't know. As long as he could keep some of his old moveset. And, you know, like, I was trying to... Tell me about the deep sea dive. You tell me about everything else. You know, it's just he's committed to it, and I think that's something that I see a lot of people not do is get committed.
Yeah,
to
he's super
gimmick.
Committed to the role. I admit that. And the finisher that he used this past week, which was like a version of like an STO with like the grapple position of like a complete shot. It was pretty insane. I haven't really seen anything like that. I'm sure it's been done somewhere else because that's like Cody Rhodes' MO. He'll find a move that's like super cool that not a lot of people do and he'll just take it for his own.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but I like it. I just, you know,
yeah.
Goldust can't always get his ass kicked.
Yeah.
Stardust come save the day. They have to be, you gotta trade blows.
Could they be, are they setting up a face versus face tag team feud? Because now it appears that like, I really don't think they're going to let Harper and Bray Wyatt, Harper and Rowan beat the Usos. I think what's going to happen is, like, the family is going to, like, interfere and Stardust and Goldust are going to win. And then, Harper and Rowan beat Stardust and Goldust, and then you have the feud again, the Usos and Rowan and Harper, and then it's a completely, you know, the shoes are on a different foot. But
I would like to see that.
I'd like to see it too. And that's the thing, though, too. A lot of these storylines are written 2-3 months in advance, and we don't know what they're going to do, and it could be really cool, but the anticipation leading up to it is so rough, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're in that malaise. They were in that little hangover, and now I think they're coming out of it.
You know? Absolutely, I think so, too. I think SummerSlam is going to be awesome. Like, last year, SummerSlam was great, and I think this year, SummerSlam is going to be really good, too. The writing in WWE is much better. Over the last couple of weeks, it's been much better. And it's always... Wrestling is just ebb and flow, you know? But, I mean, the thing with TNA is they're pretty much all ebb. But,
there's bright spots.
There's definitely bright spots. Even, like, I mean, I'm watching WCW...
The Knockout Division, like you said, is great.
Oh, the Knockout Division is awesome, you know?
X Division, that guy, their champion, he's got... I don't think he's working as hard as he can.
Sonata.
First off,
it's really hard to push a guy. It's really hard to push a guy that doesn't speak English. It's like, you want title shot? You want title shot? You want title shot? Oh, gee, title shot. It's like, it's hard to love a guy like that. Great Muda got over in the United States in the early 90s just by working. You can't do that anymore. You can't do that anymore. And I love...
it's like he's not trying.
You know what it is, too? It's like he wrestles that Japanese strong style, and he's not really compatible with anybody. It's like, that tiger suplex that he does could be so much nicer if he whipped the son of a bitch a little bit more. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, everything is... He's trying to be very pretty and very flashy, and it's like, the Japanese style isn't like that. The Japanese style is supposed to mirror, like, a real fight as close as possible. Like, if you would ever watch... If you ever get bored, watch, like, a YouTube match of, like, Gary Albright in Japan, when he would dragon suplex somebody or tiger suplex somebody, it would look like he was legitimately trying to kill them. And he wasn't. Or if you watch Dr. Death in Japan, or Stan Hansen lariat somebody in Japan, or Vader in Japan, they look like they were legitimately trying to kill somebody. And were they stiff? Absolutely. Did they kill anybody? No. So I would love to see American wrestling writing and more of a Japanese like strong style in the ring. I would love that, but that's never going to happen. Because they don't want anybody to get hurt. And it's PG now, and, you know, that would be awful. So
yeah, but you saw what happened. Sometimes you just can't control it. You know, he got his head busted open.
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised he doesn't have a concussion.
And I'm surprised they let him work the next night. I was shocked. How are you going to let a guy wrestle?
With he's 12 got staples in his head.
Yeah. Like, that's some shit. 12 staples in your head. And then you tell them, all right, boss, I'll go out. If I had 12 staples in my head, I would tell my boss, kiss my ass, I'm playing Last of Us for the next week. Until these things get out of my head.
But they tried. Did you hear? They gave him an epinephrine shot. They sealed it with Vaseline, right? Because they thought that was enough to keep the blood vessels in line. He got in. He was the first thing that happened. He got punched in the head.
Oh, my God.
Busted wide open, right?
Yep.
He's got this mask. I could just rage going, oh, we can't black this out.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean?
I was watching the pay-per-view with a friend and my wife, and we were really getting into it, and my wife was like, wow, you know, he's really bleeding. And her friend goes, yeah, it's not as bad as Stone Cold, referring to, like, that infamous, like, WrestleMania match. Yeah, when Stone Cold was, like, covered in blood, but it was pretty freaking close. I mean, somebody hasn't bled that much on WWE in a long time.
I know. I'm surprised they let him go get back.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Yeah,
too.
At one point, you know, he was sitting ringside. He could be like, "No, you got to go back."
Again, just takes a special type of person, you know.
Hey, you know, but respect to Randy Orton. He gained some respect in my book. I thought he was boring, but now he's. You know what? I'll take it.
Randy Orton's an excellent worker. He's a third-degree superstar for a reason. A third-generation superstar, I mean, for a reason. He's got a ton of... I miss the Viper. I miss the Randy Orton that, like, talked less and wrestled more. You know? But what are you gonna do? You know, this is what you got.
He's already talking.
Yeah. But, I mean, the people that he's with are talking enough for him. You know?
Well, what do you think of Rollins? What do you think? When do you think he's going to cash it in?
I think they're gonna tease the hell out of it for like the next like 4 or 5 months. I think every time he goes to cash in, Ambrose is going to be right there, and that's going to make Ambrose get over, like, even more than he is now.
He's already over.
Yeah, he's already super over.
There's no reason.
Yep.
I mean, you saw him climb that ladder.
Yep.
He saw Kane, so he climbed faster.
Yep.
Right, which is what you're supposed to do. Another person would have gotten off the ladder.
Yep.
Right? He climbed faster. He tried to get it. And I think he's honestly, I think he's hurt. And he's just kind of gritting through it. But I love him. He needs to work a little bit on that finisher, I think. I'm not sold on it all the way.
What, Ambrose's finisher?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm not sold on it all the way.
Oh, I love that move, that dirty deed.
It doesn't hit all the time. You know what I mean?
You're right. But I mean, you know what it is? It's like when it does hit, it looks great. It's kind of like the zigzag. When he doesn't hit the zigzag the way that it's supposed to be hit, it looks like shit. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But when he does, it looks great, you know? So
as you can tell, everyone, we're huge Dolph Ziggler fans.
Yes.
I love
Dolph Ziggler, like, way before I ever interviewed him. And then when I interviewed him, and he was such a nice guy, I loved him even more. Like, I remember during the interview, I asked him, like, what games he played growing up, and he was talking about how he used to play the SmackDown series on, like, PlayStation 1.
Mm-hmm.
And how, like, he would use, like, Billy Gunn's, like, head and, like, somebody else's body and stuff. And it's, like, it reminded me of, like, when I would play the game, like, how I would try and make myself from all, like, the crappy pieces that you had to use in the original SmackDown games. So he like, showed himself to be, like, a real person, which I really liked. So
Could I ask, the shades of Shawn Michaels in him, you see it or no?
Yeah, absolutely. I see a bunch of people. I see Shawn Michaels, I see Kurt Hennig, I see Billy Gunn, I see Terry Taylor, I see a bunch of different people, you know? I see some Rick Martel, I see Tom Zenk, I see a lot of, like, really high-energy, athletic, you know, performers in him, you know?
And you know, I think give him a run at the U.S. title again, give him a run at the IC title, you know? That IC title has to be defended by someone who I think could put on a good show. That's who we
that's
had
your
this
TV title, basically.
Show.
Yeah.
You know?
That's like the closest thing to a TV title that WWE has, is that Intercontinental title.
And unfortunately, it's vacant right now. Of course.
Bad news.
Do you think when he went to the doctor said, "Mr. Bird, I'm afraid I've got some bad news"?
Oh my god, and then he like elbowed the fucking doctor?
He can't, it's separated.
Oh my god.
No, but, as corny as that joke may be, you know, the title is vacant. You know, and Bacon has a great career. He went from losing the World Heavyweight Championship to winning the IC title in less than 24 hours. Pretty fucking amazing.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that Vacant, man. He's a hell of an up-and-coming performer.
But, no, in all honesty, is the solution really a 20-man over-the-top rope battle royal?
I just want to say that I hate over-the-top battle royals, period.
There's no skill.
Yeah. There's no skill. And then it's like, ugh.
And you have an episodic television show, right? Just have two matches from each show at the tournament, right? And then the final will be at Battleground. Why are you going to make a 20-man over-the-top rope?
Because they want to have another title. They want to have, like, a legit, like, 15-minute title match. Like, at the pay-per-view, where they want to, like, build up somebody, like, in the weeks leading up to it. You know what I would do? TNA used to do this all the time, where they would have gauntlet matches. Basically, it's a battle royal where only pins and submissions count.
Ooh. See, that would be interesting.
So you have 20 guys in the ring, possibly at one time, every 30 seconds another guy comes out, and just pins and submissions. That could be pretty cool.
Yeah, but no, it's over the top rope.
Yeah, I just...
over the top rope. And then it's the same guys who were in the Money in the Bank match.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
You know? Well, yep. Maybe Swagger won't make it in. Because now he's feuding with Rusev. Right?
Well, imagine if Rusev wins it and Swagger versus Rusev for it.
Nice little feud right there. I think that'd be perfect.
That would work.
But I think they should trade wins back and forth, don't you?
Well, this is the thing. I don't think Rusev is going to lose. leading up to it, you know? I think, like, Lana or, like, something's going to happen that's going to, like, cause Swagger. Like, Swagger should win, but then he gets screwed or something, you know? Yeah. And I think, like, if Swagger does beat him, then it's for the title at a pay-per-view. I don't think Rusev loses on regular TV. But then again, AJ Lee wins the title
on Raw, so... then again, it's not a title everyone cares about. We seem to care about it more than a lot of people care about.
Yep, I agree.
You know, because I think it is a legitimate title.
I agree. I mean, it's probably one of the... it is one of the most important titles in the company, but it hasn't been used properly in quite some time.
Well,
I thought Barrett could have been a really good IC champion, and then, you know, stuff like that happens.
Elephant in a room. Cena, the champ, is here again, right?
Mm-hmm.
We agree. The other guys in that match were not ready, with the exception of Kane, and no one wants to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Nobody wants to see Kane, the champion.
Or Orton.
Or Orton, or Del Rio. Sheamus, no, not yet. Sheamus wasn't in that match, was he?
No, he was
in the other one, right?
Wait, no, he was in that match.
Yeah, he was in that match. Yeah, I'm sorry.
But he's already holding the
But yeah,
the
he's US champion. He's kind of good on the outside looking in right now. He'll get a shot eventually, just not now. Roman Reigns
I
not
hear
ready
people,
yet.
Just think it through. I feel the same way, but think it through, you know? You're not going to put on someone that's not ready.
But it would have been awesome at the same time. You know?
Say again?
But it would have been awesome at the same time. Would have been shocking. You know?
Yeah.
My whole thing with Roman Reigns is, dude, Roman Reigns is a skinny bitch.
Yeah, he's not as big as he looks.
Yeah, with that vest on and stuff, he's scary. He takes that vest off and it's like, you want a potato? You want a steak? If he gains another 20, 30 pounds of muscle, drinks some whey protein, and does some sit-ups and stuff, he will look like a monster. You know?
He should hang out with his cousin.
That's what I'm saying. He needs to hang out with The Rock a little bit. And then then he's got the whole package. He's got that really tall, dark, and handsome brooding thing going on. He's great. He's great on the mic in small doses. He doesn't stretch himself out too far. He possesses that strength that we talked about. But, oh my god, it's like he's got, like, that skinny kid in gym, like, climbing the rope chest. You know?
I mean, you know, Ambrose is looking jacked in that white beater.
Oh, yeah.
And he looked really skinny in the Shield gear.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, not everyone is fit for tactical gear.
Yep, and Rollins, I mean, Rollins built like a freaking, he's sculpted out of clay, you know?
Yeah.
Well, even though, what the hell is up with those tights? I mean, he looks like Catwoman. It's awful.
I don't know who thought that was the right choice.
Awful. Awful.
You know, and I'm like, is that a bat suit? I'm like, I think that's a bat suit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he had like his Nike Combat Pro shorts sticking out of it.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, Nike just got a free spot.
Yeah.
You
awful.
Know, but yeah, I like Ambrose's new ring gear, you know, which is just basically, you know, a t-shirt.
It's very like DDP circa, like 1998, you know, just like white beater and jeans, you know.
I like the new Resident Lunatic. I like it. It works for me.
And he's great on the mic. He's a much better wrestler than people give him credit for, and they'll start to see him wrestling more, you know. Him and Rollins are going to have excellent matches together. Like, I promise.
So compared to last week, where we ended the last program, to now, you know, I think it's on the upswing. Like you said, cyclical ebbs and flow. Do you think we're getting there? Do you think it's coming back?
It's so hard to say, because it's like I told you, I thought, like, in 2011 when Punk dropped that pipe bomb, that was, like, the beginning of the next ebb. I mean, the next flow. So, I mean, it's almost impossible. Like, they could go out and they could ruin it, you know? But I think what they have going for them is they have so many people that are on the up. Like, the fact that they broke up the Shield pissed off a lot of people, and a lot of people thought that they shouldn't have broke up the Shield so early. But all three of them are doing splendidly by themselves. Then you have AJ, who's, like, injected some controversy into the Divas division. Who she faces off with next could be really interesting. That's on the upswing. You have the Intercontinental title tournament where you have a new Intercontinental champion coming in. Anything could happen. You have heat in the tag team division with the Wyatt family and the Usos, and you have Stardust and Goldust on the way up now that they've finally gotten rid of Curtis Axel and Ryback. Then you have Cena, who has to win a Fatal 4-Way at Battleground against, you know, three people that could absolutely leave with the belt. So that's the thing. When was the last time that you could say that there was drama in every single title situation? I mean, the only one that there really isn't is the United States one, because who's fighting Sheamus right now? Nobody. So I think if they find Sheamus somebody to fight, I think then you got, for the first time in a really long time, you got the whole shit cooking at once.
Yeah. And then it forces TNA to say, shit, you know, we were on the upswing by however little that upswing was. Now they're running on all cylinders. Now we got to get better. And the competition, and they'll be better all around.
Competition,
you know,
is great.
You know, the Ring of Honor stuff is, the Ring of Honor stuff is still good. You know, they're just
small scale. It's like, it's sad.
I really wish, listen, just put it on at midnight. I've said this before.
I agree.
It on at midnight. I will stay up and I will watch it. Watching this thing on the internet is a bit of a hassle.
Yeah, I agree. I'm the type of person where I would actually watch Lucha Libre USA on MTV.com just to watch another wrestling show. You know? Like, I literally cannot get enough wrestling. You know? Like, I will watch whatever's on if it's wrestling.
You know what you and I should do?
What?
We should go to a Bronx Wrestling Federation event. It's in the Soundview section of Bronx. Small, independent, right? I would think it would be great. I think it'd be great to just see something small, homebrewed. I know someone that's a female wrestler in Brooklyn. We could get this going. You know, I just some really like homegrown talent from New York and see where they go. Maybe track them. Maybe have them on the show. What do you think?
Yeah, man, I would watch it. We could even invite one of them on the podcast. That would be great.
Hey. Look at that, people.
That would be awesome. You can book it.
We talk about shit all around. Book it.
You can book it. There you go.
Oh man!
But just don't pull like a Shockmaster or anything like that. You ever hear the Shockmaster story?
Yeah. No, let's not bring that.
Yeah, don't bring the guy on with like
that,
a
earthquake.
It was tugboat.
Typhoon.
Typhoon. Yeah.
Oh, Shockmaster!
That poor guy.
first moment, and then you know Sting was all for it.
Yep.
Right.
The best
Sting
is at the end.
For it, and you just hear Flair.
Oh man.
Flair, oh god.
You ever hear that full story, man, at the end? He goes to the, like, gorilla position. At the end of that whole segment, he goes to, like, the gorilla position where Dusty Rhodes is sitting. And he goes to Dusty Rhodes, he's like, I fucked that up, didn't I? Dusty Rhodes laughed so hard that they had to take him to the back because he was laughing so loud. He almost, like, lost it. He was literally, like, crying. He was laughing so hard.
Oh, man, you know, sometimes you do stuff to make your money. I guess Shockmaster. Someone thought it was great. Dusty thought it was great.
Oh,
but
man.
Yeah, man. If there's a Shockmaster there, we could walk out.
Yeah, if there's a Shockmaster there, I'm gonna walk out. So, and if anybody, the last time I was at an indie show, I was supposed to interview Jim Neidhart, and Jim Neidhart asked me to give him $10 before the interview. So as long as there's no Shockmaster and no one asks me to pay them before I interview them,
are you serious?
Yes, and I did not pay him. I did not. I told him, dude,
I just walked out?
Yeah, I walked out, basically. And then I wrote an article the next day about it, and I basically, you know. And then, like, 3 months later, he got caught with, like, narcotics in his car in Florida. So it evened out. There was karma there.
Wow, know? I guess Natalia's never coming on a show.
He was great, though, because it's like, he asked me to pay him the $10, and I said no. And then he informed me that there was an ATM around the corner, that if I really wanted the interview, I would go to the ATM, and I said no. Then he asked me to buy his new book, which was basically like an encyclopedia of wrestling. And the photos were by George Napolitano, who is, without a doubt, like the greatest wrestling photographer of all time. And I know him because when I covered the Brooklyn Cyclones for 4 years, he was a team photographer. And he's told me a bunch of great stories and stuff. He's just a top-of-the-line guy, a great guy. But, like, the book was from, like, 1983. And here we... I don't know how... Jim Neidhart got a copy of the book, but he said he was selling it to people, trying to tell people that it was a new book, including myself. And there was like a cover on the cover was like Butch Reed, who hasn't wrestled since like 1992. So I'm like, oh, really, man? Really? Come on.
So that was
see,
just
kids stay in school.
No more. Yeah, it like really sickened me on indie shows, to be honest. But I mean, if you want to go sometime, I'm down. I'll go.
Hey, I know someone. She's an up and coming female wrestler. A brother at the lodge. He's good friends with her. He's posting videos, so I'll see if I could get her.
Yeah, yeah, man, that would be great. And we could even, if you want to bring her on the show, we'll talk. We'll talk to her on the show. We'll have a good time.
Hey, see variety. It's not just us all the time.
Yeah, it's not just us all the time. Looking forward to another week of WWE and TNA programming, and for Patrick Hickey Jr. and Juan de Jesus, we will catch you guys later.
Yeah, I really would love some bacon.
You can never get enough bacon.
I want someone to look at me the way they look at me, the way I look at bacon. I really want that. That would be awesome. You know that whole longing, the wonderful smoke. Not that I won't be smoking, but still.
Oh my God, you're awful.